Now, the arrivals in life create many different responses in us depending what you are facing arriving. For example, if you are running late for work and you are waiting for the bus to come and the bus is late and you're looking at your watch and you know that in any second five will appear at the same time, but it does not happen or help you right now because you are approaching being very late, and then a bus comes along, and what is the feeling that you have? Relief. Yes, I'm not going to get sacked. I'm going to get to work and live another day. Waiting for the bus. Other arrivals that cause a response in us are new babies. Oh, we get very excited, don't we, about new babies. We celebrate new life. We're happy that babies come into the world and are healthy and have become part of a family. But what are we really celebrating? Did you know with the arrival of the baby, you say hello to new life, but you say goodbye to sleep. You say goodbye to any privacy in the bathroom for the next 18 years. You say hello to lots more coffee in your life and hello to a lot more dirty nappies. Amen. Yeah, okay. We're taking a while to warm up this morning. That's okay. We had an arrival this weekend. My parents came for the weekend. Yay! I'm going to get told off for mentioning them. They're at the back. You can say hi to them later. And so, in preparation for their arrival on Thursday, we cleaned the house. We cleaned the house. Yeah, it was Rich emptied the bins and did the hoovering. Yeah, multitasking. We cleaned the house. We stocked up the fridge with some special little goodies for the weekend. And most importantly, we upgraded the toilet paper. This is me. You're either going to like me or I'm like Marmite, but there we go. So we're talking about arrivals, and the most important, the significant, the arrival that we talk about at Christmas is the arrival of Jesus Christ, amen, on this earth. And this morning, we're going to look at four different people and how they responded to the arrival of Jesus, because the arrival of Jesus will create a response in you. Yeah. Whether you think it will or not, whether you think you can ignore it or not, you're still responding to Jesus in this life. And so we're going to look at four characters within the Christmas story and see how they felt and how they responded to this life-changing, history-making event. The first person we're going to look at is Mary. I love Mary. So if you'd like to turn to Luke chapter 1 from verse 26 with me, we're going to read Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. Oh, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. As you might. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age had also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. I think Mary's response to this is just beautiful. That's the word that came to me. Absolutely beautiful. You know, Mary is not portrayed as in, I think she is in some versions of the Christmas story. She's not just a simple girl. This thing that happened to her was not, it didn't like take her unawares. It didn't just kind of, she woke up one day and God was like, "Oh, there's the one. She won't notice what I'm doing. I'm just going to put it on her and see what happens." She was 100% aware of what was going on with God, what this message meant to her. I love it. I love that she heard what the angel had to say, and then she thought about it a little, so she considers, and then she asked a really good question. She asked a really good question. How is this to be, for I am a virgin? You can hear the cogs ticking in her brain, can't you? She's thinking about it. What she's not doing is doubting. She's not doubting that what the angel has told her is going to happen is going to happen. She's just thinking about it. And how I kind of came to this conclusion is that when people did doubt, they were rebuked a little bit, weren't they, in the Bible? Zechariah himself, we know, don't we, when he questioned the angel, when the angel said to him, you too shall have a child, he laughed, didn't he? And then the angel caused him to not speak until the baby was born. Sarah, in the Old Testament, she also doubted what God had to say to her about her promise, and she was rebuked by God. And so I know that here, this is different. Mary isn't doubting or fearful or worrying about it. She's just questioning, asking a really good, considered question. And we know that Mary was a thinker. We know, don't we? As you go through the Christmas story, if you read during the week, it says every now and again, and through her life, at significant points in her life, it says Mary took all these things and kept them in her heart. She dwelt on them. She thought about it. She considered it. And that I love about her. You see, when she'd asked her question and had it answered, what did she do then? Her response was surrender. She surrendered. Okay, it will be so. I am your servant. Do whatever you wish, God. I love it. She gave her whole life, her very being, every breath to God, to Jesus in that moment. Amen? Yeah. And she was at the beginning and she was at the very end, wasn't she, of Jesus' life, the whole way through, because she was surrendered to whatever God wanted to do through Jesus, this baby. Surrender. That's one response that we can see in the Christmas story. Then let's go to the shepherds for our second response. The shepherds, we are going to read from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 21. Luke chapter 2. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. I love the shepherds. There's lots of people I like in this story. I feel in this part of the story, the shepherds come in, it's like the energy starts to pick up a little bit, doesn't it? You know, Jesus' birth, as we know, was calm and serene. He didn't cry. There was no mess. You know, Mary and Joseph sat there looking perfect, waiting for people to come and start seeing the baby. That is a joke. But the shepherds come in, and they've just had this amazing encounter with the angels, and they rush, they drop everything, they leave the sheep, and they come, and they want to see what has happened. And they get to the stable where they were staying, where they see Jesus. Wow. And they are blown away, aren't they? Let's think, first of all, what does the arrival of Jesus mean for the shepherds? See, the birth of Jesus turned the whole world upside down. Literally, thousands of babies are born every single day. Every single day from the beginning of babies being born. And unless you are a subscribed fan of One Born Every Minute, or whatever that horrible program is, about childbirth, we don't really pay much attention to the thousands and thousands of babies born every day, do we? Except this one, the arrival of this baby, changed the world. And we're still talking about it today. But why? You see, the Jews at that time were expecting a messianic king. They were expecting an amazing warrior, kind of king, fighter, king to come and kind of rescue them and elevate them to where they thought they were supposed to be, a high-profile, you know, royal family figure to come at that point. But God chose something completely opposite, didn't he? He chose to enter the world in fleshly form in a very different way. And not only did he do it in the most humble and gentle way, but the people he told first weren't the ones that you'd expect to know first. Really, you'd expect the royal family to know first, the prime minister at least, or the VIPs in the world. But no, God went to some shepherds, some smelly, dirty, common, illiterate, probably, people that were out in the field, away from everybody else, minding their own business, and he chose to tell them. And it's all in the angel's message. Read it. It says, I bring you good news. Unto you a sign will be given. All of these things, it's about you. Oh, I love that. I love that. Jesus' arrival means that the normal, everyday people, like you and me, we can go and enter into an earthly lifestyle that we never, ever would have been able to do if we were just bound to this earth's laws. But because the birth of Jesus meant the arrival of a brand new kingdom, a brand new way of being and living, it means that we can also be there. The shepherds can be there. Have you ever tried to get into Buckingham Palace? Anyone? I mean, we've been as far as the gate, you know, the fence, because I refuse to pay however much to go in and see the jewels, but, you know, that's me. You get to the gate, and there's, like, a massive gate, and then there's, like, armed police with big, fat machine guns patrolling, and they're patrolling and protecting the royal guards, who've also got guns, you know, the ones that stand there and you want to try and distract, because we're all rebels, really. All of those. And then, you know, you have to get through the security and have your bags scanned and all of that. You, normal people, cannot go in. We were in London, I think it was last year at this point, and we were outside Buckingham Palace showing the kids, you know, but don't touch the gates, don't touch that, don't do that, don't breathe. The man with the gun will come. And it was amazing, because the place is shut up, you can't try. And then what happened was we kind of noticed some police sirens behind us, you know, coming around the big roundabout, and I was like, ooh, what's happening? And saw this car coming around. I think it was a carriage. It was someone really poncy and posh, yeah? In a carriage, horse-drawn carriage, surrounded by cars, and they come, and what happens? The gates swing open, and the carriage comes through, and this person clearly is very important and belongs in the palace, and they were swept in, and then before anyone could think about getting in behind, the gates shut again. And that's kind of how it is in the world, isn't it? If you are a normal person, we cannot expect to live up there, but baby Jesus' arrival, the arrival of God on this earth, and his choice to go straight to the ordinary, the normal, everyday people, means that he has something amazing for us that he wants all of us to join in on. It's a message for all people. And so the shepherd's response is amazing. It's all you can see. They are freaked out to start with, a little bit scared, as you would be, but then it's awe and it's worship. Worship. They come and they see the baby and they respond with worship. Amen. Wow, who is this? Wow, he is amazing. Wow, and he came to us first. Worship. And then, I love this, they go and tell everybody and then they just go back to their sheep. They just go back. Okay, well, okay, that was good, let's go back. But, you know, they might have gone back to their sheep, their everyday life, their duties and the roles that they had to do, that they had to keep up, but they weren't the same. I can guarantee you they weren't ever the same. And when you've had an encounter with Jesus and a worship encounter with him, you'll never be the same. Whether you're a coffee shop worker, a toilet cleaner, a fighter jet pilot, whatever, you are never the same. because a heart of worship is alive and it beats in a different way, I think. That's another response. Not everybody's response, though, is as positive or as admirable, I guess, for some, for us. We're going to go to the wise men. Okay, Matthew 2, from verse 1. Matthew 2. This is the wise men. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Verse 9. After listening to the king, we'll go back to Herod later, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Okay. So the wise men, the magi, are very interesting. They're very interesting to me. You see, yes, they came and it says they worshipped Jesus. They bought him great gifts. They paid him a great act of respect, and they even played a massive part in saving his life at that point. We'll come to Herod in a moment. But I began to think about their motivation. What was their motivation in coming to Jesus? You see, the Magi, they were scholars, they were wise men, they were scientists. They were kings, possibly, or they worked in a royal household. They were from the east. They were from places like, it's been suggested, Persia, India, Babylonia. They were not Jewish. They were very intellectual people. They were followers of their own mystic religion, very linked to astrology and the study of the stars, as we see, called, we think, Zoroastrianism. I think I've said that right. Zoroastrianism. You see, their journey began because of their astrology, because of the studying of the stars, because of the words of their own prophet, a non-Jewish prophet, not necessarily a prophet of God. Their journey began because they had a quest in mind. They wanted to find this star, and they wanted to see the baby or the king or whoever it came to land over. They were following a journey for knowledge. They were following a tradition. It's their tradition. This intellectualism, this Zoroastrianism, it's a tradition. And so when they got to Jesus, I think it's interesting that it says they rejoiced and were exceedingly with joy. It was kind of about them, wasn't it? Oh, we found the star. We were right. It's there. Yes, this must be a very important baby. But we found the star. What they offered and demonstrated to Jesus was good. It was an act of commitment, respect, of worship in some sense. But where did this response come from? Did it come from their heart, like I believe the shepherds had an act of heart worship? Did it come from their heart, or did it come from their mind? See where I'm going with this? It was tradition rather than worship. And this caused me to question. Do we send Christmas cards or not? Why do we eat turkey? Why do I come to church and sing certain carols? Why do I, you know, all of these things? Do I do it out of an act of worship to Jesus because I see him in those things and I'm responding to him in those things? Or do I just do it because I've been doing it since the day I was born and was in primary school? Yeah? It's okay to ask these questions. It's okay. how much of what we do is tradition and how much of what we do is a heart response to Jesus? Well, we've done it once. We always do it this way. It's tradition, we say every year after we do one thing for once. But we've always done it that way. I want something more than that, don't you? I want something more than, well, we've always done it this way. We've always sung this song. We've always ate this food. We've always done this. I want something more than that, something life-changing. Jesus' birth deserves more than just that every day we do it because we do it. Amen? I'm not being a Grinch. I'm not being a Grinch because also Jesus, the arrival of Jesus, means that we have life and we have an amazing, abundant life. He came to give us that life. He paid a great cost for that life. And guess what? He likes us to celebrate. He loves us to celebrate, especially when we celebrate him. And he loves to be involved in that. And so this Christmas time, whenever you come to do something that you've always done, just ask a question quickly. Why do I do this? Do I do it just because it's tradition and this is, you know, this is what we do? On my journey of the perfect Christmas time to reach the final destination of Christmas Day or whatever? Or is Jesus actually here? Is Jesus actually here? And I'm not asking you, and I don't think Jesus is going to want you to scrub off all these things from your calendar and your diary. Oh, well, don't do that. Don't do that. Just do this. Invite him in. Invite him in and you might find what you've always done, whether it's decorating the tree a certain way or eating a certain meal at a certain time, actually just becomes very real and new and refreshing and alive again because Jesus Christ, the reason why we are here and we do that, is right there with you. Amen? Let me know if that happens this Christmas. I want to celebrate with you. Let's make sure this Christmas we are responding to the who we are worshiping and not the what. Amen? So there we go. We've had surrender, and we've had worship, and we've had tradition. And finally, we come to our final, the bad guy in the pantomime, the bad boy in the story, and that is Herod. Let's read Matthew chapter 2. From verse 2 again. Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." It's interesting, isn't it? They also went straight to the VIP in the story. They didn't catch up with the shepherds or go and ask any of the normal people. They went to the palace first. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. I bet they were. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people to Israel." Skip down to verse 16. This is after the king, the Magi, had left him. He realizes, it says in verse 16, "Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more." So the final response that we're going to look at this morning, and this is the uncomfortable one. If you thought, you know, questioning your tradition wasn't comfortable, then we come to Herod. Herod starts off in this little scenario as being frustrated, as being a bit concerned because these wise men have come and told him that someone important has been born. And then what we get down to, because he sits on that frustration a little bit, he sits on that concern, and he can, you know, involves all his people around him. What we get then is him being furious at the arrival of Jesus. He's not really angry at the wise men, although, you know, they hopefully have got on their camels and gone very quickly back to their homeland. But what he's angry about
is the arrival of Jesus. In one version that I have looked at, the word is outraged. He was outraged at the arrival of Jesus. He hated Jesus from the moment he heard about him. And in some, this response happens. This response comes out. Why did Herod become outraged? What was it about the birth of this little baby in a manger in this little nondescript town in the middle of, you know, a huge area? What did that threaten? Why was he threatened by that? Why was he worried about that? It was because of all that Jesus represented. See, Herod was a Roman appointed king. He wasn't a true king. He was a false king anyway, put there by the governing authorities. He was not a very nice man already sitting on a very unstable, insecure throne already. But what we do know about Herod is that he knew the word of God. He knew the word of God, and he knew the prophecies of the coming king, and he believed them enough to be a little bit concerned when he heard about this birth. He believed it enough to become outraged when he realized the extent of what this would mean. Outraged and full of enough hate to go out and commit the worst act of genocide, you know, ever at that time. The arrival of Jesus meant the beginning of the end for Herod and his power and his lifestyle that he was clinging onto every single day. Everything that he had made and put around him, he controlled his kingdom, he controlled his people with fear and intimidation and anger. Everything that he had made and created suddenly was shone under the spotlight of God's word. And it began to appear for what it truly was. And he hated it. You see, if Jesus, again, had just been an ordinary baby, born on an ordinary night, not special at all, do you think it would have created that response in Herod? No. The arrival of Jesus in anyone's world, life or situation, can cause up a response sometimes that we don't always expect. But when the truth of God's word, which not only comes with a whole lot of grace and mercy and forgiveness, but sometimes comes with a little bit of love and truth as well, when that shines on our lives, it can cause us to be a little bit uncomfortable, can't it? Can you think now of just situations that you've been in, you know, that have challenged, have challenged you in your response? Things that have shone a spotlight on a characteristic of yourself, a part of your personality, or a dream or a hope that you are clinging on to, something that you have made and have been holding on to, and God shines a light on it and says, hold on a minute, are you sure that's what I asked you to do? It's not the most comfortable of places to be there. I know I've been there. And we can squirm a little, can't we? And we can resist the urge to let go of what we want and what we are controlling. We can be challenged and we can be a little bit repulsed at our own sin, can't we? We can feel sometimes that pride that rises up in us as an act of defense. Well, everyone else is doing it. It's not that bad. I can go there. I can do that. I'm strong enough. But if that's not what God has asked you to do or to be like, then we need to change that. And we can feel a little bit outraged, can't we? Oh, just stop shining on me. Look over there. They're much worse. But this is where Herod had landed. He'd landed on this place of being full of hate and outrage and pride, and he did not want to let go. And so he set about his plan to deal with it himself, this act of genocide. And here's just the little word that kind of God kind of gave me. It feels like it's coming in from the outside, but I really feel this is for someone. This was a direct attack on the plan of God for his earth, for his creation, right at the beginning. You know, Jesus was just born. He was still young. He hadn't done anything yet apart from being born and being and growing up slightly. And yet Herod went straight in to try and attack him where he was when he was vulnerable. And this is a key strategy that the enemy uses time and time again. And I'm just urging you guys this morning, just watch out for it. Just watch out for it. You see, if the enemy sees and senses potential in you or in anything you're about to do, he is going to do something about it. And he will try and attack you right at the beginning, even before the beginning. Yeah? The night before you do something, the bringing of some chaos or some crisis into your life that makes you kind of question whether you want to go to this particular event or you want to do that particular thing. Or I'm just going to stay at home in my pajamas and watch the telly because it's safer and more comfortable. Anyone ever had that? You know, those feelings of doubt that come in just before you start to prepare a message for the first time or get up and sing in a worship team. Mothers, who's ever had their kids suddenly, after being healthy forever, just get sick the night before or 5 minutes before you're about to walk out the door to go and do something for Jesus? Is it just me? Wow. But that's how he tries to get me, right at the beginning. And it's just about sensing that and knowing that and just being aware. It's his most effective yet predictable strategy. The enemy is boring. He's been doing this right from the beginning. What did he do in the Garden of Eden? Tried to ruin humanity right there and then, didn't he, with Eve. He's been doing it since then. Watch out for it. Don't let it stop you. See, Herod was already too late. As we know, we've skipped reading that part of the scripture, but the wise men had gone to see Mary and Joseph, and then an angel came, and he said to Mary and Joseph, okay, now you need to get up and go. You need to go to Egypt. Just get out of the way for a little while Herod does what Herod needs to do, and then I'm going to bring you back. See, Herod was already too late. The enemy was already late. God was going to have his way, and when God speaks and when God brings promise into your life, it will happen. For he is the Lord God, and what he says he will do, he will do. And so don't worry about the crisis and the chaos and the strategies that seem to come in and try and stop you. He will do it. Mary and Joseph had already moved on with Jesus into the next phase of their journey because God is faithful. So we come to the end, and I'd like to just give us a bit of time to respond to what God is saying to us this morning. And it's kind of already been brought out in this service this morning. It's been amazing. What is our response going to be to the arrival of Jesus this morning? Joe, are you able to come and play for me, please? And so I'm going to take you back through these four responses. And this is a really safe place. You know, we sang earlier, Spirit Breakout, and there's a line in that song. It talks about King Jesus. No, it doesn't. Well, it does. It says revival. Revival. We want to see revival here. And we can sing that song, and we can sing it as a prayer and a declaration over our land and over our nation. But do you know what that song to me really speaking about? It's a prayer for our own individual hearts. Because we also talk about in there, let the walls come down. Let the walls come down. And we can, in our lives, just in our daily lives, sometimes without even knowing it, just go through life and become a little bit hardened to what Jesus wants to do in our lives. So we can put up walls. We can, whether it's walls of fear, like, I don't want to go there with you, Jesus, right now, or that's not for me, or I don't think that's who I'm meant to be. Well, I can't be that free. I'm not invited to that party. We all know we are. We can put up walls. Every hard thing that we go through in our childhood, in our past, can cause us just to put a brick up that can sometimes just prevent the Holy Spirit just getting in. You see, our hearts are a soft place. Our hearts are designed to be open to Jesus. And so we sing and we pray, let the walls come down and revival. We want to see revival here. And I know that Jesus wants to see revival in every single one of our hearts, because when he has brought revival to our hearts and to our life, we can go out and we can bring revival out there as well. Amen. As we minister, as we take Jesus out there. And so just ask yourself some heart questions now. Is anyone feeling like they may have just, however briefly or for a time, just landed like Herod in the outrage zone? The how dare you, Jesus, question me zone. The who do you think you are, Jesus, shining that light on that part of my life? Has anyone landed there? You know, Jesus' arrival means that we can have life and life to the full. And no matter what promises or things that you've been sold by the world, they are not nothing compared to what Jesus has for you. They're temporary. They're temporary. They're not going to last. They're not going to bring you satisfaction like knowing Jesus will. So just check you're not there, and let it go. Check your mind. Is there anything, as I touched on tradition and just doing things because this is how we do it and why we do it, is there anything in your life, in your Christmas life, that just has a hint of tradition? You don't really know why you do it anymore. Just take this moment just to reintroduce Jesus to that. Reintroduce him. As you decorate your house, just have a conversation with him. What do you think about this one, God? Do you like this one, Jesus? Oh, this decoration makes me think about this, Lord. Just invite him in. He may ask you to remove some stuff. He may ask you just to put it away. But he may just breathe new life into it for you. That's amazing. And then, let's go to the shepherds and let's begin to let the Holy Spirit stir up a new song of worship in our hearts this morning. A new song of awe and wonder at the amazing birth of Jesus, the moment heaven touched earth. It may be a Christmas carol moment, silent night, all is perfect, all is wonderful. But I can tell you, in the heavenlies, there was great noise as Jesus entered this earth. There was a great celebration. There was a great shout of praise as heaven touched earth and God became flesh. Let that stir up in you a sense of wonder and worship as we sing to him this season, as we offer our lives to him. Ask him to create in you a fresh sense of all that this means, of all that this Christmas time means. His coming. What does it mean to your life? The fact that God is here in the flesh. And then, with Mary, let's commit ourselves once again. Surrender to the King. Surrender to the King. Give your whole life to him. Your whole being, everything about you, knowingly, consideringly, mind, body, soul, and spirit, give it to Jesus this Christmas time, as Mary did, and wait and see what Jesus will do. Amen. Can we worship, maybe sing Spirit Breakout, and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you? Amen.
Break out, break our walls down, Spirit, break out, heaven come down, Spirit, break out. Walls down, Spirit, break out. Heaven.
respond. Let's respond to him. We all do that in some way. And as we worship, I want you to stand or kneel. Whatever your heart is telling you to do, just do it in response to him. Know that freedom and the blessing that comes when we respond to Jesus. Amen. So stand, sing with me, lift your hands, kneel in awe, in reverence, whatever you want to do. Let's not waste or miss this moment to respond to the King arriving. Amen.
Spirit break out. Break our walls down.
Just get the worship team to come and join me.
Spirit break out. Oh, break out. Heaven come down. Spirit break out. Spirit break out. Break our walls down. Holy Spirit. Spirit break out. Heaven come down. Oh, Spirit break out. Spirit break out. Break our walls down. Break our walls down. Spirit break out. Heaven come down. Oh, our Father. Our Father, all of heaven was your name. Sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven, our Father. Our Father, all of heaven was your name. Sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven. Oh, Spirit break out. Spirit break out. Break our walls down. Oh, Spirit break out. Spirit break out. Heaven come down. Oh, Spirit break out. Spirit break out. Won't you break out? Oh, Spirit break out. Heaven come down. Stir it up, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts. Passion for your name. Stir it up. Stir it up. Stir it up. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts. Passion for your name. Stir it up, God. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts. Passion for your name. stir it up in us, stir it up, stir it up, won't you stir it up, stir it up in our hearts, passion for your name.
Lord's just given me a word this morning, and it's the word, there's two words, heart transplant. There's some people here today, maybe one person, who right now, you can feel it, you're undergoing a heart transplant. As you receive the love and the acceptance, the invitation from Jesus to respond and open up your life to Him, He's taken your heart and He is transforming it. He is doing a mighty, beautiful work in it. And there's that phrase that comes, we hear in the world, that people have a heart of gold. And gold is a thing of beauty, and it's a thing of strength, and it's a thing of purity. And there's people here that God is, right now, this morning, giving you a heart of gold. As those bricks come down, and you might think, oh, I'm vulnerable, I'm open, I can't cope with this. But what He's doing, He's strengthening you, and He's transforming you into a person with a heart of gold. And it's a thing of strength, and purity, and beauty. Oh, amen. If that's you, if you feel like God is doing something really deep in your heart, just put your hand up just so we can pray for you. Amen. Amen. It's an amazing thing.
Oh, stir
Hallelujah.
It up.
Amen. Thank
stir
you.
Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Passion for your name. Oh, stir it up. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, a passion for your name. Stir it up, Lord. Stir it up. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts. Oh, passion for your name. Passion for your name. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Passion for your name.
King Jesus. King Jesus. We give you glory this morning. We thank you. We thank you that you are here. That you have arrived. That the King is literally in the building right now. And King Jesus, I thank you for what you've been doing in our hearts this morning. I thank you for the heart transplants that have been happening, the heart transformations, the heart strengthenings, and the hearts coming alive to you in a new and a fresh way this Christmas season. And King Jesus, I pray that you will make us people with clean and pure hearts, that hearts that reflect you, reflect your glory, and tell your story as we go out of this place. King Jesus, I pray you'll help us to invite you and make you the center and the reason for everything that we do today and tomorrow and the next day. You will be the center of it all, King Jesus. That you will be glorified, King Jesus. That you will be lifted high. And Lord, we thank you that nothing can stop the word of God in action. Nothing can stop the plan of God for His kingdom. And so, King Jesus, we pray this Christmas that you will do something amazing in this place. Something new, something afresh, something that challenges us, something that wakes us up, something that changes everything and everywhere and everyone that we meet, Lord, this Christmas. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Okay. So we're going to prepare to close this morning's service, but as we sing a song in closing, we'd like to take up this morning's offering. So we're going to sing Emmanuel to close. Angels.
Oh, angels, angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. You who sang creation's story, now pour and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in the field, shepherds in the field abiding, watching all your flocks by night. God with shine now residing, yonder shines the infant light. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Oh, Emmanuel, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Oh, Emmanuel, 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 you are the God who saves us. Worthy of all our praises, Emmanuel, Emmanuel, come out your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word to our hearts today. Thank you for the power of your presence amongst us. And Lord, we just want you, but Holy Spirit, just to seal your word in our hearts.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for the hearts of gold that you've given us, Lord. Thank you for that transforming work. Thank you, Lord, that we can surrender to you like Mary did.
Yes.
That we can have the joy, the excitement, the passion, the worship of the shepherds, Lord. We want to be in love with Jesus. We want to tell people about Jesus. We don't want to be quiet, Lord, because this is something to celebrate. That we've been welcomed in, Lord. That we're included. You died for all people that we might come to you. Thank you that you really are the Savior of the world. And Lord, you're the Savior of our world today. And we say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for our traditions and the celebrations. But, Lord, in all of that, God, help us to keep it fresh, keep it real, keep it about Jesus. And, Lord, if there's anything in our lives, Lord God, that you want to shed light on today, please do so, Lord, that we would be open to the challenge, the transformation, Lord, because we want our lives to be about you more than anything else. So, Lord, thank you for this great and powerful morning in your presence. Bless everyone now. Keep us safe. Use us this week to share with others what Christmas is all about. Thank you for your birth. Thank you for our new birth, Lord, when we gave our lives to you. So bless each one now, and we thank you, Lord, for what Christmas is about. It's all about Jesus. In your name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Have a wonderful day. And just one final notice. I believe we have a drama rehearsal for all those involved in the Christmas skit, which is happening on Sunday, the 17th of December, 2 weeks' time. We have a practice upstairs now. Please do join us. So we're all ready for 2 weeks. So practice today and next Sunday after church. Thank you.
Thank you.
you have.
I suppose. Anything else? Huh? Stop. I've got to stop. If I don't stop, we won't pack up.
1, 2. Thank you.